those who remember New York on the days following the 9/11 terrorist attacks are familiar with scenes like this, impromptu memorials to loved ones. But the shrine on this street corner is an art installation from 1997 by Swiss-born artist Thomas Hirschhorn called Mondrian Altar. Mondrian Altar is part of an exhibit called September 11 in Long Island City at the Museum of Modern Art's Queens Outpost, PS1. But while the exhibit opened on the 10th anniversary of the attacks, most of the pieces in it were made before the attacks took place. On the morning of September 11, 2001, in this very space at PS1, Canadian artist Janet Cardiff had mounted her experimental installation, The 40-Part Motet, using 40 speakers, each representing a member of a choir singing a mournful piece of medieval church music. Now, 10 years later, PS1 has reinstalled the piece as part of its effort to show the effect of the attack on our perception, even of things that came before it. For example, in this landscape, which Alex Katz painted in 1994, we cannot avoid seeing the shadow of the Twin Towers. This documentary by artist Jim Cohen is about the victory parade that celebrated the return of the American troops after the 1991 Gulf War. But the film of that victory parade 10 years before 9/11 now reminds the viewer of the September 11 attacks.
What we saw in 1991 was a reaction of extreme nationalism and pride and patriotism. In 2001, those events reshaped the piece. It indicated that we sometimes make historical documents that we don't completely control.
The only piece directly pointing to 9/11 is this collage by American artist Ellsworth Kelly. The show's creator, PS1 curator Peter Ellie, says the approach in this simple collage is what he wanted to extend to the entire show.
I was interested in how particularly Kelly's approach allows us to look differently at this location, which for us was so sort of marred by the violence that occurred there. And I began to think about how an exhibition could offer something similar by looking differently, that we could, in a sense, create our own meaning if I could expand the context within which we can consider 9/11.
With this approach, the PS1 exhibit revives, renews, and enlivens art pieces of the recent past, art that had become either too familiar and commonplace or forgotten, like this crushed car from 1982 by John Chamberlain, which now stands for the violence of that day. This piece from 1980 by American artist Sarah Charlesworth stands for the heart-wrenching scenes that were repeated 20 years after it was made.
There were seven blow-ups like this, and they were all taken from newspaper photos of people jumping. Obviously, the association that people are going to have will be to the painful events of that day. And I had to consider whether that altered the meaning of the work too much.
Newspaper photos are also the subject of another installation.
This is a work by a Dutch artist named Willem de Rooy. It's an archive of images he cut out of newspapers beginning early in 2000.
This otherwise pleasant shot of a sunny day on a plane by photographer William Eggleston takes on an ominous meaning and identity when we consider the crash of planes full of fuel and people into the tall buildings. Presiding over the central hall of the exhibition is a piece by New York sculptor George Siegel, who died a year before 9/11. George Siegel's woman looks down at a gray powder which covers the entire floor.
It's in fact pulverized passenger jet engine by the British artist Roger Hyorns, which he sent to an industrial company that ground it into very fine powder, mostly aluminum and steel.
The exhibition continues at PS1 through January 9th of the next year. In New York, Beinam Nategi for Voice of America.